Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 5/15 through 5/28.
Now, before we pray, I'd first like to speak on the importance of early morning prayers. I want us to understand why we should be praying first, before we start our day. Because it's only once you understand the importance of morning prayer that you can begin to put it into practice. Private prayer is rewarded. Everyone needs a place to be alone with God. As long as we don't have a place, we won't be able to maintain private prayer. Mark 1 verse 35 tells us, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Jesus knew the value and power of private prayer. Jesus spent time alone in the wilderness for 40 days and nights. He later spent more time alone praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. His example is important for every believer. And now for a moment, I want you to see things from this perspective. God's goodness, God's mercy, God's love is constant. And what I mean by this is that people can be in and out of your life. People can love you one day and hate you the next. Look at what happened during the days leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus. On Palm Sunday, the crowd celebrated him and they spread palm branches on his path. But not too long after, just days after, in fact, that same crowd turned on him and they were shouting, "Crucify him." You see, people do this. People change. People will tell you, "If you ever need anything, just give me a call." However, when you take up this offer and you do give them a call, how many actually answer? But thank God that He's not a God who changes from one day to the next. The Word of God is filled with so many invitations for us to call on Him, and He says He will answer. There's a passage of Scripture in Psalm 20 which almost reads like a blessing or a prayer over someone's life. And the central theme to this portion of Scripture is all to do with God answering us. Psalm 20, verse 1 through 9. "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but He will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call." In all circumstances, I believe we should sincerely call on the Lord with hearts that are filled with faith, expecting Him to answer. How God will answer, a lot of times we don't know. How God will meet your need, we don't know. When God will answer, we also don't know. But here's what we do know. We know that the Word of God constantly tells us to call on Him. "Call on me and I will show you great and mighty things," our Bible says. "Call on me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you will honor me," the Bible says. We may not know the when or the how when it comes to God's answers, but we do know that His Word says He will answer. And if His Word says He will, then we must believe. We must believe and have faith that He will.
One of my favorite theologians and writers is C.S. Lewis. In a few moments, I want to share with you the most powerful lesson he taught me about prayer. But before we get to that, here are a few of his words that I pray will stir you up in your spirit. Let's begin. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me. Have you ever thought about what we are actually doing when we pray? We are going before God and humbling ourselves, saying, "Lord, I do not know the answers. I do not know what to do. Help me." When we go before God in prayer, we're saying, "Lord, you are bigger, so I come to worship you." Now, doesn't this just change your perspective on prayer? The second teaching that I'd like to highlight is this. I have two lists of names in my prayers for those whose conversion I pray and those whose conversion I give thanks. Think about that. We all have people who we would like to be.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 515 through 528.
State, be it family members or friends. But how many of us make it a point to intentionally pray for the conversion of those dearest to us? How many of us go to God and intercede for the hearts of those who have not yet come to Christ? Now, the third and most powerful teaching I received from C.S. Lewis is this. Relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing had yet been done. He's talking about a consistent prayer life here, a tenacious prayer life. And how many of us make it a point to start the day with prayer? I want us to understand why we should be praying first before we start our day. Because it's only once you understand the importance of morning prayer that you can begin to put it into practice. Not all prayer is effective, but private prayer is rewarded. Everyone needs a place to be alone with God. As long as we don't have a place, we won't be able to maintain private prayer. Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Jesus knew the value and power of private prayer. Jesus spent time alone in the wilderness for 40 days and nights. He later spent more time alone praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. His example is important for every believer. We can't do the work of God. We can't live and walk by faith. We can't even live a life pleasing to God if we are not filled with Him. Everyone who claims to follow Christ should take the time alone to recharge, take the time to talk with God, to get to know God for yourself, not just through a sermon you hear online. Get to know Him for yourself. Take the time to read Scripture and consider what God has for you next. And let me challenge you right now. Stand up and be honest with yourself right now. Are you praying like you should be? Are you taking the time to recharge your faith? Do you have a place where you can pray without distractions? A place that you can pray openly? And I challenge you to find your time for private prayer, because this life will drain too much of you. Life will happen and situations, things come up that will drain your focus on God. Doing life out of your own power won't work. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit so that you don't fatigue and burn out. We need Him so that we don't grow weary. Spending time with God keeps our focus on Him and off ourselves. And I believe that the best time to pray privately is in the morning. That's when our spirits are fresh and our minds free. The body is rested. It's before the cares and distractions of the day have taken our focus. It is better to go from prayer to business than from business to prayer. Mark 1, verse 35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." If Jesus made the effort to get up and pray while it was still morning, how much more important is it for us? How much more is it important for us to get up before the world grabs possession of our thoughts, before the devil tries to tempt us and fills us with unholy feelings? By having communion with God, the Father, in the morning, we are saying, "Lord, out of all my priorities, instead of going for a run, instead of going to the gym or making cereal, Lord, you are the most important on my to-do list today, and I will give you the first fruit of my day." In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, the Bible reads, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." We're being told to place our hope on the solid foundation that is Jesus Christ. This is because when the forces of evil try to wreak havoc on your life, the strong foundation on which your faith is built upon will not be overcome. The walls in your life will not be breached. When you have built your foundation on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ, you are not shaken by the earthquakes of life. You are not blown away by the winds of life. You are not taken under by the floods of life. And this is all because God will never fail you. He will never let you down. "My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." Regardless of everything seemingly going wrong, I want you to know that Jesus is still King. He still rose from the dead. He still loves you. Job 13, verse 15 says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him." Those are deep words, people of God. Those are profound words. After everything that Job has suffered, after everything he has lost, after facing some incredibly difficult challenges, this man is able to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Pray for faith like this. pray for grace like this, so that in the middle of your challenge, you can still say, I will trust in God. In the middle of your challenge, remember that Jesus Christ remains King. He remains seated on the right hand of the Father. He remains to be the only one who has said the words, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And yes, He still loves you. Having this knowledge, my friends, is the key to finding our way back to a place of strength, a place of joy and victory. God is good all the time, not sometimes, not some days, but all the time. Now let us pray. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would see me in the middle of this challenge I am facing. I pray that your hand would mercifully lift me up from this situation and deliver me. Lord, I pray the words in Psalm 18, verse 1 to 6, and I say, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. I pray that you would rescue me, King Jesus, and make a way where there seems to be no way. I come to you, Father, with all that I have. You have promised in your word to take the heavy load I carry. You've promised to take my burdens. And so I bring all that bothers me. I bring all that weighs me down to your feet. I pray that I would hear your voice speaking despite the storm I face, despite the challenge I face. May your voice be the ruling authority over my affairs. The Bible says in Psalm 29, verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. So I ask that you would look down on me mercifully and speak the words, peace, be still. Help me, Master, to continue to persevere even in the middle of this challenge I face. Cast out the fear and invade my mind, my thoughts, and my heart with faith. Faith in your word. Faith in your promises. Promises that I will continue to hold on to, because even though I may face challenges, I am promised peace that surpasses human understanding. So my prayer, Lord Jesus, is that you would lead me, move with me, walk with me, and speak to me continuously. May the Holy Spirit be my counselor and the still small voice that guides me. When fear tries to attack me, and if worry tries to overwhelm me, I pray that the Holy Spirit will empower me to overcome and to defeat the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Though the challenge I face may last longer than I would like, though it may be uncomfortable, keep me from becoming discouraged, Lord. Give me the pure joy of the Lord so that I will be strong. And if my heart is to feel burdened and weary, may I find rest in you. May you lead me to greener pastures, Jesus. Great is your faithfulness, Father. May you be glorified forever and ever. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. The role of the Spirit in us is to remind us of the words of Christ. He is actively doing the work of Christ and was sent by Christ to dwell in believers. Indeed, God the Holy Spirit is a wonderful helper. He helps us in our weakness. The Bible says that the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit that we should desire and chase, are for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Your entire life as a believer is determined, influenced, guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts you to change your life and turn away from sin. And that's only the beginning. Here's what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, from verse 15 to 18, the Word of God says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And then verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So to the one who asks, "How will I walk in wisdom and not fall back into my old ways?" the Holy Spirit will help you do this. How can I remove this desire of sin? The Holy Spirit will help you walk in the Spirit, and he will give you the strength to fight those tempting desires of the flesh. How do I live with boldness as a fearless Christian in these evil days? The Holy Spirit will give you power and authority. He will be your helper. It's the Holy Spirit who will help you to understand and discover God's will for your life. The key for us is willingness. Are you willing to be absorbed, to be filled by the Holy Spirit? Furthermore, the Holy Spirit challenges you. He challenges you to do right. I've too often heard that still small voice within me saying, "You need to pray today." Have you read God's word? This isn't something you should be listening to. The Holy Spirit challenges you to live right, to examine yourself even, and to see all that's hindering you. It's a beautiful thing to have the Holy Spirit and welcome Him into your life.
In Ephesians 1, verse 13, the Bible tells us one of the most extraordinary things. And I believe this is something that we all need to know and cherish. The Bible says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." When we heard the message of truth, the message of truth being the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that tells us that Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins and then rose again from the dead. When we heard this message of truth, the gospel of salvation. Then, when we believed this message, we were marked in Christ with a seal, and that seal is the Holy Spirit. I find it incredible that the Bible tells us this. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord can identify you as His own by the seal that is upon your life, the Holy Spirit. And so, for anyone who struggles with knowing their identity, let me tell you that your identity is in Jesus Christ because He has branded you, He has marked you, and sealed you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit authenticates the believer from the unbeliever. This is why the Bible tells us that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens when the Holy Spirit enters the life of a person? What are the signs to look for when you want to identify if the Holy Spirit is in your life? Well, to begin with, the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Amplified Translation for John chapter 16, verse 7 says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you." When you are feeling powerless, the Holy Spirit will help you. When you are low and feeling tired, the Holy Spirit will help you. When you feel too weak to pray, the Holy Spirit will help you. When you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you will find Him to be a helper, just as the Bible says. It doesn't mean that life will be easy, and it certainly doesn't mean that your Christian life will be easy, but it does mean that in those difficult and tough moments, you have divine help. You have help from above. You have the Holy Spirit. Another sign that the Holy Spirit is in your life is that it beckons you to do God's will. He encourages you to do the will of the Lord. In the book of Acts, there is an astonishing passage of Scripture that demonstrates just how the Holy Spirit can work in our lives. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 31 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." Notice that in verse 29, the Bible says, "And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.'" The Holy Spirit led Philip to explain the gospel of Jesus Christ to this Ethiopian eunuch. Acts 8, verse 35 to 39 of the Bible says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." The Holy Spirit led Philip to minister about the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone who was ready to be saved. And you and I can be. In fact, we should seek to be led by the Holy Spirit in this same way. The Holy Spirit can lead you to pray for a family member or a friend without them ever having told you that they are going through something. The Holy Spirit can lead you to pick up the phone and offer someone a word of encouragement when they are in a dark place. And so we need to be sensitive to His voice. Another sign that the Holy Spirit has entered your life can be found in Romans 15, verse 13. The Bible reads, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." The power of the Holy Spirit helps us to have hope. In this world, there are so many things that can leave you discouraged. So many things come in life and they threaten to kill your joy. However, the power of the Holy Spirit will be our source of hope. Furthermore, when the Holy Spirit enters your life, He will convict you of sin. John 16, verse 7 to 8 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." When the Holy Spirit is in your life, the sin that you used to enjoy will become painful to take pleasure in because the Holy Spirit will convict your heart. He will remind you of the price that Jesus Christ paid for you on the cross. The Holy Spirit will convict you to live a life that is pure and pleasing to the Lord, and He will certainly convict you to forsake the sin in your life.